Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. I was glad to have a little time away last weekend, and I know what a stuffed turkey feels like, but some of you do too. But anyway, I was glad that Brother Al was able to preach last Sunday, and as a dear friend of mine said it so practically well, I love this phrase. And I think it's particularly true of Brother Al. He puts the cookies on the lower shelf where everybody can get to them, doesn't he? I tell you what, praise the Lord for his ministry. And we are anticipating some unfolding of his ministry with us here at Mimosa Lane. And God's putting some things together. And you'll be getting some more information. But I'm excited about that for he and his family and for us, about what God's going to be doing through us to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you as well, in your worship guide this morning, you got a little blue card. It says Christmas gift to Mimosa Lane. That is an above and beyond offering. We did this last year. We're asking you to simply, first of all, to take this card. If you would be willing to do what it says, would you be willing to pray and just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It might be something. It might be a lot. It might be nothing. Maybe you are in need at this Christmas season. You're without a job. Maybe we need to be helping you in some way. That would be the Lord's leadership if he opens that. But this is an opportunity to simply say, would you pray about what God might lead you to give as a one-time gift here in this Christmas season, or as an ongoing gift? Maybe you don't have the resources to give particularly now, but you could give a little bit through the year. And this is above and beyond, which would be above and beyond your regular and even my regular tithing. At this point, all we're saying, would you pray? And if you're willing to do that, just pray, say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Then I ask you to sign this card and put it in the offering plate at the end of the service as an affirmation of your willingness to say, I'm just going to ask God. If you're a guest with us today, this card's not for you. If you choose to pray and want to give, God leads you to do, that's fine. But this is an opportunity for God's people who are a part of this fellowship, who serve here and share here and sing here and cry here and laugh together, to be a part of what God's doing. And God blessed us in a significant way. I think we took in about $63,000 last December as a result of people simply praying and then doing what God led them to do. And I encourage you to do that. Well, I'm beginning a series today called The Purpose of Christmas. Christmas is an unusual time, and it's an exciting time. As you know, I read the story of on one particular church. The pastor, just after Christmas Day, he went into the church building, and a little while later, he was in his office, and then he went out back in the rest of the church, and there was a manger scene that they had set up there, and he walked by the manger scene and noticed that baby Jesus was missing. And he looked around, and he looked out the door of the church, and he saw, moving off the parking lot, was a little boy pulling a little red wagon, and baby Jesus was in the back. And the pastor walked out there, son, could you hang on just a second? He walked out there to him and said, son, what's going on here? He said, well, pastor, I prayed before Christmas. He said, I told Jesus, if you'd give me a wagon for Christmas, I'll give you a ride when I came afterwards. So he was there to give Jesus a ride. Well, it is a special time of the year, isn't it? And I hope that we are as accurate in our follow through of God's blessings in our lives, and we celebrate his grace. And as we've discovered through this 40 days of blessings, the 40 days did not end then. They continued on. And Shirley was just telling me this morning, Shirley Coker, who shared her testimony on the 40 days about how we were able to assist in doing a kind of an extreme makeover to her house. She shared with me this morning, and this is an odd way to express it. She said, I've got to tell you another blessing. She said, after the 40 days, when she shared her testimony on the screen, she said, my house got broken into. I said, well, how was that a blessing? She said, they didn't take anything. They took absolutely nothing. Man, what a blessing is that. I got a notice this week from a family in our church, and they had gotten a notice from the IRS that they owed all this back taxes. Now, what a blessing is that. And they struggled, and they bartered, and they did all that kind of stuff, and finally tried to get it all settled and sweated and get the money up. And then a few days later, they got another letter in the mail from the IRS and said, oh, goodness, what are we going to do? Didn't even want to open it. When they opened it, the IRS said, we made a mistake. We're sending you $9,600 back. God is still a God of blessing, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the blessings continue, and we're thankful to celebrate his blessings in our lives. Christmas is the largest celebration around the world each year. It's the very largest one. Other holidays get a single day, but Christmas is emphasized for an entire month. 1/12 of the year is designated to the celebration of the birthday of Jesus. Really longer, because even this year I heard Christmas music the week before Thanksgiving. Usually it was the week after. It's like the election. They're moving it up more every year. I don't know how that works, but during this season, billions of people all over the world set aside normal routines to decorate their homes, send cards, buy gifts, and attend parties. There are stores and even careers that are exclusively dedicated to the Christmas season. It's amazing that this simple, unassuming birth of a poor peasant boy 2,000 years ago in the Middle East causes such a commotion even today. I mean, his birth can still cause traffic jams in New York City and even Tokyo, Japan. What an altering thing. The birth of Jesus is history's most defining event. History is really defined as his story. History is dedicated and even divided by the birth of Jesus. B.C. before Christ, A.D. from a Latin term, which means in the year of our Lord. Every time you data check or plan an event on your personal calendar, you're indicating the date by how many days and years it has been since Jesus Christ appeared on the earth. I love this statement. Even your birthday is dated by his birthday. That's how defining it is. If Christmas is such a big deal, why is it such a burden to so many, or even us at times? For many people, getting ready for Christmas seems more of a hassle than a happiness. It's more of a pressure than a pleasure. Have you felt some of that already? Christmas can become something to endure rather than something to enjoy. I spoke to a minister of music the other day from a local church, and I said, "Well, how are you doing?" He said, "Christmas season is about to kill me." Well, maybe it's about to kill you too. Maybe you dread Christmas because you dread spending the time with oddball relatives. Maybe you are the oddball relative. Even Sting, the rock singer and songwriter that used to be a part of the group Police. I don't think that meant he was in law enforcement, but that's another matter. They asked him recently, was he going to come out with a Christmas album? And he said, "Well, that typically means that you've lost your writing creativity." He's come out with a winter album. It's a winter album. And they asked him what he thought about Christmas. He said, "Oh, it's way too commercial. But I sure hope my CD does well." I mean, yeah, it's always bad commercialism unless you're profiting from it. Christmas is an odd time of the year. Even atheists are getting into the act. Have you heard this? Buying billboards and in 5 major cities in the United States and city bus signs, those signs on the side of city buses, they've bought numerous thousands and thousands of dollars a sign, atheists, and the sign says this, in celebration of the season. It says, "Be good for goodness sakes." Atheists are celebrating Christmas now. I read one atheist who said, "You know, I don't mind. I love being an atheist, but we don't have any holidays." There's always a downside to something. You know, that frustrated atheist is someone who's thankful but doesn't know who. Even people who attempt to avoid political correctness by saying "Happy Holiday" instead of "Merry Christmas" have forgotten that the root word for holiday is holy day. What makes Christmas so special is not what we do with it. It's what God did with it 2,000 years ago. God's Christmas gift of Jesus has 3 qualities. You won't see these on your screen. There's not even a place listed for in your worship notes. I always give you extra if you want it. 3 things about this Christmas gift, even before we get to the points that we need to acknowledge, that makes Jesus unique. First, this gift is the most expensive gift you'll ever receive because it's priceless. You want an expensive gift? God provided him in Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's the only gift you will ever receive that will last forever. How many have you thrown away within a few days after you got them? I mean, in Jesus is a gift that will last. He's timeless for all time. Third, it's an extremely practical gift because you'll use it every day for the rest of your life. The gift of Jesus is priceless, timeless, and practical every day for the rest of our lives. But what is the purpose of Christmas? We're going to define that the purpose of Christmas was declared in that first angelic announcement. There are really three things, and this series is based on those three statements out of that angelic announcement. Turn with me, please, to the text of Scripture listed for you in your worship notes. Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke 2, 8 through 14. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign for you, and you will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Another verse of scripture listed that's on the screen but not in your worship notes is Psalms 118:24. "This is the day of the Lord's victory. Let us be happy. Let us celebrate it." What is the first purpose stated by the angelic announcement of Christmas? We find it in those words. It's about good news of great joy for all the people. Christmas, the purpose of Christmas is celebration. We have reason to celebrate. When you ask people why they celebrate Christmas, you'll get a lot of different answers, won't you? Even within the church at times, when the first thing we express is not maybe what we should be focusing on is the celebration of Christmas. When you ask people, you say, why are you celebrating Christmas this year? You might get some of these answers. "I'm celebrating Christmas because I've made it through another year." They're celebrating endurance. They've lived to tell about it. They're celebrating maybe because they're going to be with family. It's a good thing. They're celebrating because maybe they got a Christmas bonus. Maybe this year they're celebrating that they got a paycheck. There's reasons to celebrate. Maybe they're celebrating because a son or a daughter is home from Iraq or Afghanistan. Maybe they're celebrating many reasons. But that's not the purpose of Christmas. The purpose, would that mean that if their son or daughter did not come home from Iraq, no Christmas is worth celebrating? Does that mean if you don't get a bonus, no Christmas is worth celebrating? Does that mean if you don't get to spend time with your family, no Christmas is worth celebrating? No, the purpose of Christmas is anchored in what God did, not in what we do. The purpose of Christmas is celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Christmas is worth celebrating because, first of all, it's personal. I bring you. Have you ever gotten a gift you wished someone else had gotten it? Or maybe you got one that was really meant for somebody else. I mean, we went to a Christmas party the other night. They were doing a gift exchange. We didn't take any gifts, but we took two home. Now, that's the way to have a Christmas party, isn't it? One of our ABF classes. Have you ever gotten a gift that was impersonal? But the purpose of Christmas is celebrating the gift that God meant for you. It's personal. It's positive. It's good news of great joy. You see, folks, we have good news that's not only meaningful today, it's meaningful every day. And it's going to be meaningful
all through eternity. We've got good news. I don't care what the economy does. We've got good news. I don't care who's in the White House. We have good news. I don't care what the statistics are on the increase or decrease of the stock market or the workforce. We have good news. It's not only personal positive, it's universal for all the people. Three reasons to celebrate this good news. First of all, God loves you. That's it, isn't it? The good news is that God loves you and me. John 3:16 says it so practically and so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, we can learn a lot of things about God from creation and observing creation. The Bible says, does not the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork? We can look at the things God has created, whether it's the celestial stars in the heavens or the intrinsic, whatever that word is. You know what I meant to say? The little details of our bodies. We can observe those things, and we can believe and know about a God who is awesome and creative and wise and powerful and massive and wonderful. But unless Jesus came, we wouldn't know that He's a God who loves. We wouldn't have known it. It took the incarnation, God becoming one of us. God's love is a love that goes beyond comprehension. This is what I don't understand this. God loves me when I'm at my very worst. You know, one of the ways you're at your very worst is thinking you're not at your very worst. You're full of pride, and God loves you anyway. When you think you deserve the love of God, He loves you in spite of that. God loves us. It's incomprehensible love. You see, God's love, notice this, isn't based on what you do. You can't earn it. God's love is based on who He is. God, the Bible says, God is love. Romans 8:35-39. Powerful text of Scripture concerning our relationship and experience of the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sakes we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Listen to me. God loves you even when you don't feel it. He loves you. There's an old hymn from years ago that attempts to define the depth of the love of God. It was written, the first two stanzas were written in 1917 by a pastor from Pasadena, California. His name was Frederick Lehman. The third verse is really from a poem, a Jewish poem, which was written in Aramaic in 1050, the third verse. These are the first two stanzas. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And then the refrain, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever endure. The saints and angels' song. Verse 2, when years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race. The saints and angels' song. And then this third verse, which again was originally a Jewish poem. Even in 1917, after an inmate in an insane asylum died in his room, they went in to take out his body, and he, with a pencil, had written this third verse on the wall of his room. This is what the third verse says. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk like tree limb, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. The love of God is measureless. God loves you. That's good news, isn't it? It's also good news because the Bible says celebration of Christmas is celebrating God is with you. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10 says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. Do you recognize one of the names of Jesus? Is Emmanuel. You know what it means? God with us. You may not feel like God's with you. Oh, I know what we mean. Someone said to me recently about a prayer experience they had walking out by a lake. And this person said, oh, the presence of God was so real. Oh, we have those moments. Thank God for those experiential times when we sense His presence. Those are rich. Those are a significant blessing. Those are desirable. But listen to me. God's no less present at other times. He promised, this is what He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Notice, Hebrews 13:5 says, for God said, I will never leave you nor will ever abandon you. God's presence. You see, someone said, when God is near, you lose your fear. The presence of God is our reason for celebrating. Let me tell you something. When you anchor your heart and your faith on the fact, on the truth, on God's word, that God is with you, if you're His child, if you belong to Christ, if you trusted Him as Savior and Lord, He is intimately with you. And let me tell you something. As you anchor your daily life enveloped with the awareness that you are in God and God is in you, and you live out of the consciousness of His presence, you should never be unconscious of God. You should always be conscious of God.
So at any moment, any time, any day, all of life is filtered through the reality that God is with you. When the crisis comes, when the heart breaks, when the divorce notice comes, when the pink slip comes, when the tragedy with your child comes, when the bad doctor's report comes, you don't have to run and find God. He's right there with you. Folks, that is a life-altering reality. That's good news, isn't it? God's with us. He loves us. He's with us. And thirdly, quickly, God is for you. God's for you. You know, someone has said God spends so much time in Scripture encouraging us not to be afraid. Someone has suggested that the term fear not is listed 365 times in Scripture. One promise for every day of the year where God's saying, be still your soul. I love you, I'm with you, and I am for you. Now don't be too quick. Do not misconstrue God's desire to be for you as for God to be for everything you're for. Don't misunderstand. Don't get confused. Don't get confused because God loves you and God is with you and that He is for you, that He's not going to allow difficulties in your life. You say, well, what good is it if God loves me and He's with me and He's for me, if I still hurt so much, if life is out of my control, if I do things that cause damage to my own life or other people do damage that I get the collateral effect in my life or the world is a sinful, harsh, crude place and I'm impacted by that on a daily basis, what good are those truths if I have to experience life that way? I'm glad you asked. You see, God being for you means this. God is for His best for you. God is for His best for you. And His best for you may be taking you through some experiences that you would have chosen to avoid if you could find the exit ramp on that road. Listen to me. You know what God is about in His gift of Christ? When God brought Jesus, and if you've trusted Him as Savior and Lord, I hope you have, and you invited Him into your life. The goal of the gift of God is the transformation of your life into the image of His Son. I don't know about you. Have you looked into the mirror of your soul lately and realized God's got some work yet to do in that transformation process? But this is the key. Even when God allows suffering to come to my life, or even as a result of my own stupidity, He can still use that for me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He did that with the crucifixion of His own Son. Satan meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Let me ask you today, do you know that you know Jesus Christ? Have you received the gift of His Son? Do you have reason to celebrate the good news? Is it still good news for you that God loves you? He is with you. And praise God, He is for me too. Let's pray. My Father God, we thank You for Your grace in our lives. We thank You for this opportunity to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ, God becoming man, that we might know Your love, my Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would open every heart right now, that we could learn to celebrate not superficially, not just with words, but in our spirit and in our soul, and in our minds, God, that there would be a fresh sense of the significance of this season, that our celebration might take us to our knees in prayer and in fresh surrender, and then maybe to our feet in shouts of glory, and then maybe jumping up a little bit saying, God, I have every reason to celebrate because my celebration is not anchored in the latest news broadcast. It's anchored in an old angelic broadcast of the coming of Christ. Lord, I pray right now that if there are some in this service that know you as Savior and Lord, and yet they've lost the spirit of celebration, they've lost the sense that Christ is God's good news gift to them. Lord, we all have the tendency to allow our hearts and minds to be clouded by lesser things, by confusion, by the hustle and bustle, by besetting sins, as the scripture says. Holy Spirit, bring fresh cleansing and brokenness so that you can wipe the slate clean in a fresh way and we can enjoy your presence in our lives. Lord, maybe this altar needs to be filled in a moment by your people saying, God, yeah, I celebrate, I've made it through another year, but I haven't honored you as significantly as I should have this past year. Forgive me, Father, and cleanse me, God. Lord, it could be that there's someone in the service, maybe a longtime church member, maybe a first-time guest, and they've been playing a game. They're religious, but they don't know Jesus. God, I pray your Spirit would bring clarity to their relationship with you. That if there's someone here today that's never invited Jesus Christ into their heart and life, confessing their sin, their need to experience the love of God, Lord, this would be the best Christmas ever to see us have the privilege of inviting them to Jesus. Lord, this service is yours. This invitation is yours. Help us to honor you with how we handle the gift of Christ right now. In Jesus' name I pray.